I want to thank the Lord for his goodness today, and we appreciate each one that's come to be with us this morning, and trust the Lord will bless his word to us. I would like to start out in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter. In the 6th verse, Revelation 20:6, said, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and when there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I want to start off this little message talking a little bit about the second death that the scriptures refer to as the second death. There's another one in Revelations, the following chapter, the 21st chapter. In verse 6, it says, "He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, we understand what death is. We understand it's a separation, a physical separation from the physical things of this earth. But I want to talk a little bit about this second death. I want to read a few comments that Adam Clark made on this second death. He said, "The first death consisted in the separation of the soul from the body for a season. The second death is the separation of body and soul from God forever. By the first, the body is destroyed during time. By the second, the body and soul are destroyed through eternity. The first death is that from which there will be a resurrection. The second death is that from which there can be no recovery. It said, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the same, very similar in chapter 21 in describing the second death. Words can't describe. I don't know how. I feel very inadequate to think in about the burning lake of fire, that death and hell, and whosoever was not found written in the book was cast in the lake of fire. Separation from God. We know God is good. We know God is love. God is light. It's hard to comprehend what the second death will be like. But there's two deaths. But I want to mention in verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. There's another similar scripture in Revelations, the second chapter, in verse 11, Revelations 2 and verse 11, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. In other words, we can overcome and not have to be hurt or not have to experience the second death if we overcome through Christ and experience that first resurrection. Now, Jesus talked about two resurrections. In the book of John, the fifth chapter, the Gospel of John 5, John 5 and 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now this scripture, he mentions here, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You know, through the preaching of the gospel, when Christ gave the gospel, the will of God, when he taught and gave the good news, There were people that heard that. They believed it, they received it in their hearts, and they followed that. And it gave them life. It gave them, he mentions here in verse 25, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, it said, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's talking about then and now. That's the first resurrection. There's a resurrection of life that can come into our soul, into our being, when we hear the gospel, when we when we believe what God is saying and what we believe what He's done in the Scriptures, when we open our hearts to that, there's a resurrection of new life that can come into us. I remember, the sins that I was involved in, and they fell off. My prison house was open when I received God's dealing in my life. When I opened my heart to it and I began to pray and I began to search the Scriptures and look to Him, those chains that caused me to do those things that I really didn't want to do, they fell and God gave me life. It's a resurrection. That's what baptism represents. Baptism, when you're underwater, it represents being dead in trespasses and sins. We're dead unto God. In other words, there's no life. When God speaks, there's no response. You know, when someone is deceased, they fail to be able to communicate or respond. And that's the way it is when we're dead in sin and trespasses. There's no response to God. There's nothing there. But when we hear and we believe and we open our hearts to God, we can receive that forgiveness and that life and that power of that resurrection. And I know those of you that have experienced that, to me it was like a light bulb that came in. I mean, it was just like a switch that was turned on, a light bulb. And I thought, why didn't I see this before? You know, why didn't I get a hold of this along? I was about 18, so I'm thankful I was still pretty young. But it was like, why couldn't I get that before? Well, my heart wasn't in the right place to receive it. When my heart got in the right place to receive it, then God gave life. But that's the first resurrection. There's a song we sing that says, a resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. I've been awakened from the dead, and now I live with Christ instead. In other words, I'm not just serving my own lust. I'm not just doing whatever I want to do. I'm living unto God now. I'm serving Him, and my life has been given to Him. That's the first resurrection. Now He mentions here, if we read on down, in verse 28, He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Now, He didn't say now is and is coming. He said the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. This is the second resurrection He's talking about. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So we know that there's going to be a resurrection, a literal resurrection of the body of the just and of the unjust. You know, it's important how we live our life. It's important that we think about our state, that we think about our condition, that we think about the future and what's out ahead of us. Very important for us to think about those things. There's going to be There's going to be a physical resurrection, but we can have a spiritual resurrection. In this first resurrection, He said, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection, upon whom the second death hath no power. In other words, if we've been raised, if we've been quickened, another scripture talks about you hath he quickened, that's made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's a made alive. That's the first resurrection. And if we have taken part of that, then the second death will not have power over us, or as the scripture said, will not hurt us. I want us to think just a little bit about the influence of our life. You know, sometimes people like to be neutral. Sometimes people are in a place where they're not for God, and they don't want to be for the devil either. They're not on God's side, and they don't want to be on the devil's side. But you know, there's no neutral ground today. Jesus said, "He that is not for me is against me." And I want us... There was a few years ago, I was on an install in California, and I don't remember the town, but I was sitting there having lunch. And this song, there was a song that came on. I don't remember what the song was. But I remember the song had an evil influence. And at the time, I know who the singer was. I knew who the singer was. And I knew that the singer had been deceased. And the thought so forcibly hit my mind that their influence is still living. They're dead. They're gone. But their influence is still alive. They're still reaping the influence that they had in life. They're still reaping the consequence of that influence. That's pretty staggering. You know, all of us have an influence in our life. It's either for God or it's against God. There's no neutral ground. Sometimes people would like to claim neutrality. But there is no neutrality. And my life is affecting the life of my children. It's affecting those that I work around, those that I come in contact. And I have to ask myself, what influence is my life giving? What direction is my life pointing people towards? Is my life encouraging people and pointing them towards God, towards the scriptures? Or is my life saying to them, it's really not that important? It really doesn't matter. Part of the anguish of the second death to me, being lost in eternity without God, will also be the ones that I caused and helped influenced to be there also. Those that followed my footsteps. Those that followed my life, that did what I did. Knowing that I led them in a wrong, that I was wrong if I didn't lead them towards God, and I didn't point them towards God, and I didn't show forth the importance of living for God, that influence will be perpetuated. You know, you take a little rock and you just throw it out in the pond. And those little boys, they love to do that, don't they? See that splash? The ripples go out. Folks, that's the way our lives are. It's not just us. our lives have an influence that ripple out. What kind of influence do we want it to be? What direction do we want to lead people in? Be good for us to consider. While we have life. I want to backtrack on my thought. Adam Clark made comment, the second death is that from which there can be no recovery. We have the illustration of the rich man and Lazarus that died, said in hell, that lifted up his eyes, being in torment. But in there it said that there was a great gulf fixed. That there couldn't be, you know, one couldn't go to one place and the other couldn't pass to the other place. There was no way to cross this gulf. We actually know very little about eternity. We just have small glimpses of what the Scriptures give us. But from all indications of Scripture, there is no hope beyond the grave. I can't get saved after if I'm not saved when I leave this life, I'm not going to be able to get saved after I leave this life. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. I believe that's what the Scriptures. And that gives us pause this morning to consider, Lord, help us. Help me. That when people follow my life and they look at my life, that they'll be drawn towards heaven, towards heavenly things, towards the things that God has given to us. There's also there was one verse in 409. I wanted to get a phrase out of that song. It says, for time, who has laid many millions to slumber in death's silent shade, shall reel at eternity's presence and sleep in the tomb he has made. So there's another. He's talking about the second death. There's another tomb. There's another grave where it's not in this earth, but it's a separation from God. A complete and final separation from God. I think about also in that account of the rich man. He said, Send Lazarus back to my brothers, my brethren, and tell them of this place. And he said, though one rose from the dead, they would still not believe. You know the hardness of sin, the hardness of people's heart in sin can get pretty hard. Desperately hard. And though they saw someone that had died and was resurrected, he said, even though they saw that, they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. And he told them, he said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You know, if we don't believe the Scriptures, if we don't believe the preaching of God's Word, and I'm not just saying me on a personal basis, but I'm saying what the Bible teaches in the Scriptures. If we don't believe that, most likely we're not going to be persuaded. Though we see a great, spectacular something happen. So Lord, help us today to recognize that Jesus died. He paid a high price for our salvation. I want to get Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter and the first verse. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Lord, help us to give the earnest heed, the more earnest heed, to the Scriptures. Take heed. Another place it says, take heed unto the prophecies until the day star arise, the light shine in your heart. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. You know, I can't, and I'm feeling this on a personal level. I can't take it for granted that I'm going to be part of that heavenly number just because I go to services. And just because I do some good deeds or good things, I can't take my salvation for granted. I've got to diligently follow after, take heed, pay attention, be alert, grasp hold of, pursue. My soul is at stake. My soul, I'm going to stand before God. It said there in Revelation that we read, the small and the great, the kings, the small man, and all between, they're going to stand before God and give an account of the things that they did according to their works. Lord, help us today to be alert, to be diligent, to grasp, to pursue our salvation, to believe and trust and to give ourselves wholly to God. I believe it's very important for us today. He said to make your calling and election sure. I have life, and when Adam and Eve were, I don't know, Adam lived probably, was he 900 years old? Some of them 900 years old. The Lord has narrowed the average span of life down to 70 years. But 70 years, I figured that up the other day. I counted 60 because I started at age 10. 21,900 days, almost 22,000 days if you live to age 70. And from 10 to 70, that would be 60 years. So you've had 22,000 opportunities to make your calling and your election sure. Folks, we won't have an excuse. We won't have an excuse. Lord, help us today. But we have this hope because Jesus went to the cross and He came back to life. And that gives us the hope that we have this morning. And Paul brings that out very clear. He said, if there was no resurrection, ye are yet dead in your sins, and we're all found liars. There's no hope. But I'm thankful today that He did arise from the grave. And I have felt that life in my heart, in my spirit. I felt that resurrection in me. Does that mean it's automatic? No, I've got to maintain a spiritual life. I've got to stay connected, or I'll wither on the vine. Lord, help us today to cherish, to value that resurrection. What's it going to be like when the Lord comes back and you've done your homework? You've humbled your heart. You gave God your all. What's that gonna be like? I'll tell you what it's gonna be like. It's gonna be wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. To be resurrected into the resurrection of life. You know, Jesus, when He was resurrected, it's to die no more. He was resurrected unto life to die no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. And we can live in eternity with God. You know, I didn't read those scriptures in Revelation 21, the very first part. But He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's going to be a wedding day, won't it? We get excited now on wedding days. Just think about this wedding day. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He said, He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto him, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And you know what? Another thing that's going to be wonderful about heaven, there's not going to be any devil there. No more temptation. No more allurement. We'll be able to see God as He is. No more temptation. That's going to be a rest that I want to be a part of. Appreciate your attention this morning.